Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
So when I was growing up in church, one of the hymns that we would sing went something like this. And if you're new, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But it went something like this. Hear ye the master's call, give me thy best. Far be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. I think all of us, you know, understand and appreciate hearing a well done when you have done something well. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Even Peter once asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27, and I'm not going to put this on the screen, but Peter said this. He said, we have forsaken all to follow you. And then listen to this. What will there be for us? What will there be for us? I think we all kind of understand the importance of saying well done when people have done something well. I believe in rewards. I don't pretend to understand all that the Bible teaches about rewards. I know that Scripture talks about crowns, the crowns that God has waiting for us in heaven. Again, I don't pretend to understand all that means. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago when I was a kid playing high school football, our coaches would reward us for something we did on Friday night with a sticker, a little orange football sticker that we would put on our helmets. And you'd have these guys, of course, by the end of the year, having a helmet full of stickers. And then guys like me, you know, who might have one or hopefully one sticker. And so when I think about crowns in heaven, I kind of picture people walking around heaven with all of these crowns, you know, stacked on their head. And I know there's some of you who can probably look forward to that. And there'll be people like me that'll just be glad to be there. Amen? Just be glad to be there. But we're going to talk a little bit about rewards today. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 10, if you want to turn your Bibles there. In fact, this will be the last message for a while in the Gospel of Matthew, at least in this series. Because next week, I'm looking forward to beginning a 10-week series with you. We're just simply kind of calling it, You Asked For It. You might remember several weeks ago, we just kind of asked the audience, you know, what are some things that you're interested in? If you have questions, write those questions down. If you have topics, write those topics down. And I got to be honest, man, I was overwhelmed by the response that we received from that. And so we kind of culled through all of it. We have 10 messages that we'll be preaching next week, kind of looking at those topics and talking about those things. And then whether you're ready for it or not, that'll bring us right up to Christmas and the Christmas series. And then, of course, when we end the year, we'll get back in the Gospel of Matthew. And so it's been a great study. It's been something we've really enjoyed, but we're going to deviate from that after today for just a little bit. But I want you to notice that last week, Rhett, and I think Rhett did a great job of reminding us of the demand of discipleship. You know, Jesus talked about taking up your cross and how that if you're going to be worthy of me, you have to be willing to die to yourself and so on and so forth. And yet, I think it's important for us to realize that that's not all that God asked of us. It's not just being willing to die to ourselves, but it's also important that we join with him in the work that he is doing, that we participate in this great and amazing work that God is doing. In Matthew chapter 10, look with me beginning in verse 40. Here's what it says. Jesus said, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You know, Jesus made it pretty clear as he went around the country in the first century, he was calling out people to become his followers. And he did that. In fact, we saw just a few weeks ago some of the people that Jesus called out, like Matthew, the writer of this amazing gospel in the New Testament. And Paul, in his writings in the New Testament, reminds us that that's true of every follower of Christ, that God has chosen us, that we have been chosen by God to become his followers and to participate with him in this great work. Write down this passage in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm not going to put this on the screen, but John invites us in this letter to participate with him as well as all the other apostles who were participating with Jesus, who was participating with the Father in the great work that God is doing. So all I'm trying to say to you this morning is that we're just joining in together with those who have been serving the Lord for ages. And it's a privilege and it's an honor, I believe, to be part of what God is doing and to be involved in this great work that God is doing today. And so John invites us to become part of that. And I think that's what we're inviting you to do as well today, as you kind of go out into the atrium and kind of wander around this morning. I want to encourage you to just look at all the opportunities and ministries that are available for you to participate in and to be part of and to get involved in this great work that God is doing. Look, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy the reward of the Christian life. I think that's the thing that I hope all of us get out of today's message, is that we don't have to wait until we die and go to heaven to enjoy all that God has in store for us, and particularly to enjoy the reward, because the reward is participating in the great work that God is doing. And I hope we get that. I hope we understand that. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about the Christian life is that we can join together with those who have been serving the Lord throughout all these years and participate and be involved in this amazing work. And so this morning, I just have a couple of things that I want to throw at you and want to share with you, and I hope it will kind of whet your appetite a little bit more for, you know, what God is doing right here in Fellowship Forney and how you can get involved in that and how you can participate in that. Well, here's the first thing. First thing I want to point out to you is that God has an established work on earth, and that work is what we call the church. You know, when you study the life of Jesus the way we've been doing, going through the Gospel of Matthew, you know, you get the sense that Jesus had a purpose. We know that he came to die for our sins, but also, we understand that Jesus' purpose was to establish the work of the church. And to that end, Jesus began by calling out its first members. He selected, he handpicked the first members of the church. We know also that Jesus established what we call the ordinances of the church. Next week, we will observe one of those ordinances. That is the ordinance of baptism. We do that every second Sunday here at Fellowship. Jesus established the ordinance of baptism. We know that in a lot of ways, he was kind of carrying on what John the Baptist had begun, but Jesus established this way of identifying ourselves as followers by publicly identifying with him through baptism. Contrary to what you may think, that's not what that dunking booth is out there for this morning, all right? Although somebody was asking me, are you getting in that dunking booth, Pastor? I said, for $5,000 donation, I'll give you one ball from 50 feet, and I'll get in there, all right? Baptism, the Lord's Supper is a second ordinance that the Lord established. We remember that the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night just before he was crucified, he met with his disciples and he instituted this amazing meal to remember the sufferings and the things that he endured. And we try to do that here at Fellowship every last Sunday of the month. Again, an ordinance well established by Jesus before Jesus left. And then, of course, the final thing that Jesus did for the church was he commissioned the church. In Matthew 28, when he said, go into all the world and make disciples and then baptize them and then teach them to do the same things that I've been teaching you to do. I don't know if you've ever kind of looked at it or not, but in Scripture, there are three images that God uses to give us a picture of the church. And I just wanted to give these to you this morning, three different images we have in Scripture that speak of the church. And here they are, and I'll give you some chapters and you can research this a little bit later on. But the first image that we read about in the church, the first picture of the church is a body, a human body. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives a great outline of what that body looks like that has all these different members. Just as my physical body has fingers and legs and all these other things, the body of Christ has all these different members. We're not all fingers and we're not all legs and we're not all eyes, but we're all something. God has positioned us in the body. And I believe that right here in our church, right here at Fellowship, we have the potential of having every member of the body that's necessary for this body to be effective in the work that God's given us to do. Second image that we read about in Scripture is a building, and Peter writes about that in the book of 1 Peter, where he talks about how God is building the church, how he laid a foundation, and the chief cornerstone was Jesus himself, and then from the apostles all the way up to us, and watch this, long after us, God will be continuing to build a building that is his church. And then, of course, the analogy I think most of us are familiar with in Scripture is found in Ephesians 5. It's also referred to again in the book of Revelation, and that is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And man, what an exciting day it's going to be when Christ is reunited with his bride. Amen? It's going to be a wonderful and glorious day. And so the bride of Christ, it's impossible, people, to love the bridegroom without also loving the bride. You know, I know a lot of people who say, I love Jesus, but I just don't like the church. They've been hurt by the church, or, you know, things didn't go the way they may have thought they should have went in the church. As imperfect as the church may be, it is still the bride of Christ. And he still expects his people to support and love his church. Just like any man would want someone to love his wife or to identify with him and his wife. I mean, that's the way Jesus is with his church. And I believe, men and women, that it really deserves our commitment and our faithfulness. You know, it's not just about going to church. It's about supporting the church. It's about being involved in the church. It's about being connected to the church. One of our core values here at Fellowship is every member a minister. And so we believe that every one of us have been gifted by God in some capacity with a spiritual gift that allows us to serve in this church with ease and effectiveness. That's a good, I think, definition of what a spiritual gift is. It's different from a natural talent. You know, some people have natural talents. They're just good naturally at certain things. And that's something you can use in the church. But specifically, what we're talking about is that spiritual giftedness that God has provided for you when you accepted Christ so that you can serve. And there's so many ways that you can do that. I do hope that you'll take time. Don't just get in a rush to leave here this morning, but spend a lot of time invested in what you see out there in the atrium. A lot of people have put a lot of effort into preparing those tables and those places just to promote and let you see what God is doing and the opportunities that you have to serve. children's ministry, student ministry, hospitality ministry, Celebrate Recovery ministry, worship and media ministry, and all these various ways. And I hope that you'll look for opportunities where you can use your gifts. Here's what I know. I know that I'm never happier or never more fulfilled in my life than when I'm exercising my spiritual gift. I mean, nothing brings greater joy to me than when I'm standing in front of you and I have the scriptures open and I have the opportunity to expound those scriptures to you, because that's what God called me to do. And I learned a long time ago that that wasn't a, and it's coming up on 50 years. I mean, I can't believe it. If you say it fast enough, it doesn't seem real, but it's coming up on 50 years in a couple years. And yet I came to realize that my call from God wasn't a 50-year call. When I gave my life to become a minister of the gospel, it wasn't for 40 years or for 50 years. It was a lifetime call. Now, I hope that doesn't bother some of you. Hope you don't think that I'm going to be around here forever, but, you know, I plan to be here as long as you allow me to be here and as long as God can use me being here. But even at that, there's no getting off. There's no place to quit. I'll never forget when I surrendered to the ministry. It was on a Sunday night, I think I've told some of you this story. I told Ann before we went to church, I'm going to surrender to preach tonight, and if you want to get out of marrying me, I'll understand. And she said, no, I always knew I was going to marry a preacher, and I thought, why didn't you tell me that? I'd have ran from you as fast as I could if I'd have known that ahead of time. But I surrendered to preach on a Sunday night, and my pastor's wife handed me something when people were coming by and, you know, speaking to me and saying things to me and praying over me. And I thought it was money, you know, quite honestly. I thought she gave me some money, so I just kind of put it in my pocket. And I'll never forget, after everything was over, I took it out and I read it, and it simply said something like this. It said, you may choose to forget tonight, but no one here will. No one here will. And it was just kind of a reminder and a challenge for me over the years, you know. How many of those people that I stand before that night and say, this is what God's calling me to do? And what would that do to my God, you know, if I didn't live up to that call and if I didn't answer that call and if I didn't remain faithful to that call? And I think that same call, whether it's to pastor a church or whether it's to lead a ABF Bible study or whether it's to pass an offering plate, I think that same call, I think every one of us have received at some point. Amen? And we're to be just as faithful to it. So Jesus has an established work on earth, and that work is his church. Number two, the second thing that I want to show you is this, that God's people on earth have been called out to participate in his church. In the same way, in other words, that Jesus called out the apostles and called out those who followed him, I believe that he is still calling out people to serve him today. And what a blessing, huh? To be saved for a purpose, that God didn't save us just so that we could go to heaven. God didn't save us just so that we could have eternal life. If that's all God was interested in, he would beam us up the moment we accept Christ as personal Savior. But God has a purpose for our life. God wants to use our life. And that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says there are different gifts and there are different ways of using those gifts, but they all come from the same Holy Spirit. And I think we need to be reminded of that over and over and over again. I have a couple verses I want to show you this morning that kind of speak to this point. First one is over in Colossians chapter 1. They're both in the book of Colossians, but I want to show you, first of all, in chapter 1 and verse 27, here's what Paul wrote. He said, to them, God chose to make known, watch this, how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. And then pay close attention to this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what makes us different. There are only two kinds of people in this world. There are those who are in Christ, and there are those who are not in Christ. I mean, that's it. I mean, there are no other divisions. That's it as far as God is concerned. There are those who are in Christ, and there are those who are not in Christ. If you'll turn over to chapter 3 in the same book of Colossians, he puts it in this perspective. Notice in verse 3, he says, "For you have died," watch this, "and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And then notice what he says next. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And so you see there are two things here. We are in Christ, but Christ is also in us. And that's what distinguishes us, that God has his people on this earth for the purpose of participating in this great work, the work of the church. We have turned the local church into more of a consumer mentality than a serving mentality. We go to a church because we like the preaching, or we like the subject matter, or we go to a church because we like the music, or because we like some people who are going there, rather than finding a place where we can plug in, where we can serve, and where we can use our gifts to help that church reach people for Jesus Christ. And so we are God's people placed on this earth, called out to serve in this great work that God is doing, we call the local church. All right, then that brings me to the third thing, the last thing I want to talk about, and that's this. Participating in what God is doing is the greatest reward that we can receive. Just being a participant, in other words, just being involved in the work that God is doing, is reward in itself. I don't have to wait, you know, to get to heaven and get a crown. I mean, I'm getting the reward now because I'm getting to participate in the work that God is doing. And I believe, men and women, that God is doing an amazing work today. That what God is doing today is unparalleled by any other time in history. And just participating in that, being involved in that, being part of that, is the greatest reward that I think that we can ever receive. Notice he mentions three things here, and I want to touch on these real quick. First of all, he talks about a prophet. He who receives a prophet, he said, also will receive a prophet's reward. Now, as I'm sharing that with you, I want you to remember that prophets were hated and despised. In fact, Stephen, in that great sermon that Stephen preached, he asked them this question: which of the prophets did not your fathers kill? They didn't like it. They didn't like it. They stoned him too. Because people don't like the truth, but Stephen was right. And so prophets, and so to receive a prophet would put your life in jeopardy, would put your life at risk, just being kind to one. Again, I don't know really what a prophet's reward is. Don't pretend to know. But I know that in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, where the writer's talking about people of faith, I know that he refers to those prophets who were cut in half, those prophets who were thrown in lions' dens, those prophets who suffered and were martyred for their prophecy. I know the writer of Hebrews says the world's not worthy of them. I know that's how God feels about those who are martyred. A lot of times, you know, you read about a person who's suffering for their faith. I mean, I don't know if you've ever picked up periodicals or look on websites and read about people in other countries that are suffering, and many of them who've been martyred for their faith. I know a lot of times we read stories like that and we say, how terrible, how sad. I mean, that's a horrible thing. And yet we realize that God sees that a lot differently, doesn't he? God looks at those people and he says, man, the world's not worthy of them for sacrificing their life for the sake of the gospel. All right, then he talks about the righteous person. And he says the same thing. Whoever receives a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. You know, the scripture talks about a crown of righteousness. And it's given, according to scripture, to all of those who love his appearing. To those who are anticipating and waiting for the Lord's return, a crown of righteousness. And once again, identifying, especially in the days of the first century, identifying with someone who would be called a righteous person would put your own life at risk. And then finally, he talks about a disciple. Who receives a disciple? Those people that Jesus himself called out, those who were martyred for their faith, and receiving them, he says, is receiving a disciple's reward. So this morning, I just hope that if anything, we can kind of go away from here recognizing that being involved in this work, being part of this work, being a participant in what the local church is doing is in many ways a reward. We celebrate every baptism, amen? We celebrate every person who comes to celebrate recovery on a Monday night and receives a chip, you know, for having just gone through the process and worked through the process and have been faithful. We celebrate that every time. We celebrate every person who gives their life to Christ and every person whose life has been changed by the gospel. Look, I realize that there are things that await us in heaven that we've never thought about, we've never even imagined or dreamed. Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Folks, I can't wait to see what waits for us in heaven. But what I'm sharing with you is it gets pretty good here on earth. It gets pretty good here on earth, especially when we are involved and when we are participating and when we celebrate together the things that God is doing. Every offering you give, every amount of time you invest, everything you do in this church is just part of the reward that God gives us for being a participant. Yes, it's true. You want to be my disciple? Jesus said you're going to have to deny yourself, you're going to have to take up your cross, and you're going to have to follow me. But following me means more than sacrifice. Following me means participating in this great work that I'm doing. And I believe God's doing some amazing things. I really do. You know, just driving around Forney, I've told you so many times, you know, just driving around, you have all these, you know, traffic problems and all the things that are going on and all the construction, and it's easy to get so discouraged. But every time I drive around and I see that, I just see another opportunity. Another opportunity. God's bringing more and more people here to our community so that we can reach them with the gospel and we can celebrate what God is doing. Amen? I hope you'll do that as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity today to be a part of what you're doing. God, to be involved in the work that you're doing today is an incredible and wonderful thing, and it's so much bigger than us. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've chosen to use us and that you're calling out more and more people right here in our community as more and more people are joining together with us in this work that we're doing here at Fellowship. God, I thank you for every church in our community where the gospel is being proclaimed and where Jesus is being lifted up and where souls are being saved and lives are being changed. But Lord, I'm most grateful for what you're doing right here. And I'm thankful for the people that you're sending our way and the people that are buying into the vision and wanting to be part of it. And I pray today that as we just spend a little bit of time not being in a rush to get out of here today, but just spending a little time looking at the opportunities that are here and see the ministries that are happening here, that God, you'd call us into a deeper level of commitment to get involved in those things. And that we would use our resources and that we would use our time and we would use our talents and we would use all of those things. Lord, we've spent way too much time giving first-rate service to second-rate causes. And today we want to be willing to give ourselves to the greatest cause, and that's the work of the church. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. Use us, I pray today, in a marvelous and powerful way. And we'll give you thanks for it, and we'll celebrate it together. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message, and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.